my shoulder to the wheel and I just kept rolling.
You can call it religion, walking into the mystic.
When the powers of people,
I don't get pessimistic.
Standing shoulder to shoulder, I hold my head high.
Standing shoulder to shoulder,
as we walk across the finish line.
All aboard, I heard my sister sing. All aboard, bring your offerings.
That's me!
Don't leave me.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Joshua, and I'm here with It's Pretty Trivial on CALU 102.7 FM. Good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Hope everyone had a good weekend, and I hope everyone's doing well with COVID-19 going around all of us, and I don't even know which day of lockdown. But I want to thank you for tuning in this morning. Remember to follow us on social media, at Trivial8 on Twitter, or just look us up on Facebook, Instagram, any of that. So, without further ado, let's get started with some trivia for today. So, seeing as Mother's Day was this past Sunday, I thought, why not do Mother's Day trivia? So, this week is going to be all about our mothers. Now, I know it's past, but I think it's perfect time to celebrate our mothers. If you haven't wished your mother a happy Mother's Day, I know it's after Mother's Day, I know it's Tuesday, but please give them a call. Wish them happy Mother's Day and wish them everything well. And if you can't see your mother because of the whole coronavirus going on, wish them well, tell them you'll see them soon. Remember, social distancing doesn't mean that you can't call your friends and family and say, hey, how's it going? Remember, there's always people there for you. So, I'm going to start off today with a little bit of these Mother's Day trivia. So, the first is that Mother's Day isn't always on the same date each year. Is that true or is that false? Turns out that it's true. See, Mother's Day is always celebrated on the second Sunday of May every year. And because of that, it was on the 10th this year. However, next year might be on a different date. And it will be on a different date. If I instead went to 2021, it's not going to be the same. So if I go to May 2021, Mother's Day will be on the 9th instead of the 10th. So if anyone was curious, it's sort of like Easter. It's on a set date. The date changes, but the time of year it is doesn't. It's pretty interesting. I never realized that until now. That the date actually changes. It's one of those things you think doesn't change. It's always at the same time, which it is. But because the dates change, you don't realize it. Because you always think, oh, Sunday, it's same Sunday every year, same date every year. The next. How many calls are made on the second Sunday of May approximately? Turns out there's about 122 million calls. That's more calls. There are more calls made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year. I guess people just really want to wish their mothers a happy Mother's Day. So, this next one. Where does Mother's Day fall for selling holiday flowers and plants? Where does it fall? So, how high is it on the list for how many flowers and plants are sold? Turns out it comes in third. After Christmas and Hanukkah, more people buy flowers and plants for their moms on Mother's Day than any other holiday. Around approximately one quarter of all flowers purchased throughout the year are bought for Mother's Day. Flowers are always nice, trust me. They're always a great gift to your mother. But remember, it doesn't always have to be flowers. Now, when was the first Mother's Day celebration? The answer might surprise you. Well, turns out one of the earliest Mother's Day celebrations was in ancient Greece. The Greek would have spring celebrations in honor of Rhea, the goddess of fertility, motherhood, and generation. As we have seen in previous episodes, many famous holidays all stem from Greek and Roman traditions, pagan traditions, and, you know, Greek-Roman gods before Christianity took hold. It's a lot of old celebrations, traditions, kind of bled over into Christianity or modern day. And they may not be the same as they were, but they've definitely still exist in a form that's semi-similar. Now, this isn't true this year, but Mother's Day is the busiest day for what of the year? Well, it turns out the busiest day of the year for restaurants is Mother's Day. According to the National Restaurant Association, in 2018, about 87 million adults made plans to go to a restaurant for Mother's Day. This year, that won't happen as Mother's Day happens during this pandemic. However, I'm sure if you look at the numbers for Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats, or any other delivery service, they'd probably be sort of similar. Now, as of 2014, how many moms were there in the United States? Sorry, I can't find the numbers for Canada, so I'll ask the next best thing. How many mothers are in the States? There were about 43.5 million moms. These women are between the ages of 15 and 50 and collectively have mothered 95.8 million children. It's pretty crazy. Now, before I mentioned that this stat came from the US. However, I did find a stat on Stat Canada's website for here in Canada. Now it's old. It's from 2011. However, it says here there were a total of how many approximately mothers in Canada, which included biological, adoptive, and stepmothers. Now this figure was in 2011. About 9.8 million. Now again, this isn't, we have a smaller population in the States, so of course we're going to have less. But for a country of 36 million people, that's quite a few of them being mothers. If you look, it says 9.8 million, and if there's 36 million in the country, that's it's over a quarter of the country of our mothers. It's pretty amazing. The next is, where is the etymology of mom come from? Where does the word mom come from? I'll give you a minute to think. So, the etymology of the word mom, it comes from where? Well, it comes from, similar to dad, mom and dad come from, well, baby talk. Turns out they're likely shortenings of things like mama or dada and tata, which is like father or mother or mama. Following these are kind of tough, but most likely these words come from baby talk. When babies' mouths move, movements and murmurs are made without anything to suck on nearby. They come out as an M followed by a vowel sound. May even have led to dear old mom. So it's likely that children were just trying to say, you know, want their mother and just be mouthing something similar to mum, mum, making an M sound and then a vowel sound, and then I guess the M would pop in at the end. And that evolved into mom. Now, this etymology is not 100%. However, it's very likely that that is where it came from. Now, the next part we're going to do is a history of what Mother's Day is. Now, it all started with Ann Jarvis, who started Mother's Day, or at least America Mother's Day. Now, this happened during the Civil War, and Jarvis made a concerted effort to foster friendship and community between mothers on both sides of the war. A committee was started in what year, which established the first glimmer of today's holiday, Mother's Friendship Day. That year was in 1868. Now, after her death, Anne's daughter, Anne Reeves Jarvis, sought to honor her mother by establishing the intimate day of observance that is very obviously based on today's holiday. When was this first celebrated? Turns out the very first Mother's Day was celebrated in 1908. So, a little over 100 years ago. Now, when did it actually become a true celebration in the United States and an actual holiday? Turns out that Woodrow Wilson signed Mother's Day into law in 1914. After Anna Jarvis created the Mother's Day International Association in order to streamline the intimate day of observance to the second Sunday in May, Woodrow Wilson legitimized the celebration as a nationwide holiday. Now, I'm getting most of my facts from Town and Country. However, I use that as a guide for questions to ask or similar questions to ask. Now, this is an American source, so I did some digging, and I found that as much as this is an accurate depiction of what happened, in Canada, it was very much the same. Because of this Civil War, the same thing happened in Canada. Even though it started in the States, it spread to Canada. And very much so, Canada became what it is today. Canadian Mother's Day became what it is through basically American Mother's Day. They basically were one and the same thing, and both kind of grew together. Now, Anna Jarvis would later try to stop what she had created. What did she not like about the holiday? Well, after it became a holiday, it quickly became commercialized and an opportunity to sell flowers, candies, and cards. Anna Reeves Jarvis felt that this was detracting from the personal and intimate aspects of the holiday and defied by starting boycotts, walkouts, and even condemned First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt for using the day as a means of fundraising. Jarvis would eventually use all her money in the fight and died at the age of 84 in a sanatorium. This next fact might be a little mind-boggling. In 2018, how much money was spent on Mother's Day? Again, this fact is out of the U.S. Let's put it into perspective. Finding Canadian sources, especially about Mother's Day, is quite difficult. However, it turns out that on average, shoppers in the U.S., and probably Canada too, very likely, spend an average of $180 on gifts for their mothers. A nationwide total of $4.6 billion was spent on jewelry and $4.4 billion on dinner or brunches. And that adds up to over $23 billion. So, over $23 billion was spent on mothers in the U.S. on Mother's Day in 2018. Now, I mentioned above, lots of money is spent on mothers during Mother's Day. However, what is the most popular Mother's Day gift? Apparently, it's a Mother's Day greeting card. Every Mother's Day, there are approximately 152 million Mother's Day cards sent in the U.S. Now, put that into perspective. Remember what I said before? There's only few. Where was it here? There was about, just a second here. Just got to go back to what I said before. There's about 43.5 million moms in the United States. And there was over 152 Mother's Day cards sent. That's about a third of the U.S. population. And that's how many greeting cards are sent out on Mother's Day. So by far the largest. And again, as much as these are American facts, I'm sure they share a lot with Canada. Now, the next is a very important symbol for Mother's Day. This flower means something. Anna Reeves Jarvis used this on Mother's Day to symbolize whether your mother was living. A red of this flower meant she was, and a white one meant she had passed. What flower was used to symbolize this? Turns out that a red carnation meant that she was alive, and a white one meant she had passed away. Therefore, carnations mean whether your mother is alive or dead on Mother's Day. Now, I never really remembered this as a fact, although I do remember as a kid, my dad would used to take us to the flower shop of a guy he knew, a fellow he knew, and him, my brother and I would go pick up a couple carnations for my mom on Mother's Day or some other flower, but I always remember we'd always go and get carnations. So I just think that's really interesting. Now, this fact probably isn't surprising to many, but Mother's Day is celebrated all over the world. Of course, in the US and in Canada, but in addition to it, Great Britain, Costa Rica, Samoa, Georgia, Australia, and Thailand all have designated celebrations to honor their country's mothers. Now, what percentage of Americans plan to buy their mother's jewelry? This is an interesting question. It's a lot higher than I would have expected. Apparently 36%. However, flowers still remain more popular, with about 69% of people opting for flowers present. For floral present. So I think we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, do a little bit of more mom trivia, and then we'll go to our halftime break. Be back with you in a second. The song I'm going to play for you is barely 2 minutes long, and it's by Kacey Musgraves. This song was dedicated to all mothers. What is the song name? Turns out the song name is just Mother. So here is Mother by Kacey Musgraves on CILU 102.7 FM.
Bursting with empathy, I'm feeling everything. The weight of the world on my shoulders. Hope my tears don't freak you out. They're just kinda coming out. It's the music in me and all of the colors. Wish we didn't live, wish we didn't live so far from each other. I'm just sitting here thinking about the time that's slipping and missing. She's probably sitting there thinking about the time that's slipping and missing her mother. Mother.
Welcome back. That was Kacey Musgraves with Mother. Here on CILU 102.7 FM. That was such a beautiful song, and I've never heard of it. Didn't even know it existed until I did some research on some good Mother's Day songs, and it was the first hit that came up, and just thought, such a pretty song. And I'd like to say, I hope my mother heard that one, because it's just such a nice song, and I feel like she'd like it, so. To my mother and all other mothers, I hope you like that one. Let's continue with a few more Mother's Day questions. This next question does involve mothers, but is a little bit different from the questions I've been asking so far. This is in the U.S. This number I'm getting is from the U.S., but I will also try and find some Canadian facts about it. Now, this is, what is the kind of average age for a first-time mother? Give you a second to think, and then I'll give the answer. The numbers I actually have for the United States, Canada, and many other countries, believe it or not. These figures I'm about to say come straight off of the CIA's website, and I'm assuming they're pretty accurate. The United States, 2015 estimates that the mean age for a first birth in women is 26.4. So that means in the United States, most women are about 26.4 years old when they give birth to their first child. In Canada, however, that is about 28.1 years old by a 2012 estimate. Now, that's pretty interesting. Now, again, a Statistics Canada even puts it a little bit higher, 30 to 34 years. It's kind of interesting to me to see that Canada has a much older first-time mother birth in the U.S. by a few years. It's, quite a bit. You know, the U.S. is in the around 26 for first-time mothers. Canada is closer to 28-30. And it's just really interesting to see that age differs. And I was looking through some of the other countries. Some countries are much, much younger. Some are much, a little bit older. But it's an important thing to keep an eye to kind of realize. I think it's kind of cool. The next is that other industries also have booms on Mother's Day. Now, according to the National Retail Federation, on Mother's Day, people spend $2 billion estimated on what kind of services? Turns out people spend about $2 billion on personal services like spa treatments for mothers. Now, the thing is moms aren't the only ones getting Mother's Day gifts. Again, from an American source, the average American buys 2.8 Mother's Day cards. So most people are not just buying one for their mother. Who else do people usually also buy Mother's Day cards for? Many opt to buy Mother's Day cards for grandmothers, sisters, mother-in-laws, other family members. I think that's a pretty cool fact right there. It's pretty cool to think that people will be giving their, not just their mothers, but grandmothers, aunts, aunts, sisters, mother-in-laws, many other family members, cards as well. This next fact absolutely dumbfounds me, as I didn't even realize this was even a thing. According to Insure.com 2019 Mother's Day Index, how much would the various tasks moms perform at home be worth in a year in the professional world? Like, for example, professional cleaner or professional chef or that kind of thing. Apparently, the task mothers perform at home would be worth $71,297 a year in the professional world. If you hired somebody to do it, you'd be paying over $70,000 for them to do everything your mother does at home for free. It's crazy. I didn't even know that it was even possible for that much for Mother's Day. I think it's pretty interesting to see that. Well, we're almost at the cutoff point for this half of the episode. So we're going to go to a quick break with one of our sponsors. And when we come back, more trivia, probably less Mother's Day and more just general trivia, as can only find so many facts on Mother's Day. So when we come back, a little bit more facts, some more music, which I promise this week I can find a lot on Mother's Day. And then hopefully we'll end the episode after that. But stay tuned. Thanks for listening. And reminder, you're listening to CILU 102.7 FM.
CILU is sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Lakehead Unitarian Fellowship, an inclusive spiritual community promoting a compassionate, just, and sustainable world. Find them online at luf.ca, on Facebook, or at 129 South Algoma, Sundays at 10:30 a.m. The Live from the Rock Folk Festival, bringing the spirit of folk and folk music to Red Rock every August. Keep up to date with upcoming happenings and buy tickets online at livefromtherockfolkfestival.com. The Outpost, Lakehead University's pub, full-service restaurant, and live music venue. Find them on Facebook to stay up to date on all the happenings during the school year, like Tanker Tuesdays and Pub Night Thursdays.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to CILU 102.7 FM. I'm Joshua with It's Pretty Trivial. Welcome back. For those just tuning in, we were doing some Mother's Day trivia before our break. For those that were with us before the break, welcome back. Quick reminder to follow us on social media. Just look up It's Pretty Trivial, and I'm sure you'll find us on most things. For this half of the show, I think we're going to do maybe some more general trivia. I've kind of run out of... I think I've exhausted almost all of the Mother's Day trivia. So we're going to move into maybe some more general trivia. And again, a couple more songs to end out the show. So, without further ado, we might as well get right back into it. This next trivia fact is kind of going to take a more sour turn, as this time I am going on dates. And on May 12th, which is not the day I'm recording this, but will be the day you hear it, is was a pretty interesting day, but a little more sad than what we were doing before. Now, this next fact will be from 1932, and it'll involve a kidnapping. Now, what is this kidnapping? Turns out it's the kidnapped Lindenberg baby. On May 12th, it was found dead. The body of aviation hero Charles Lindbergh's baby was found on this day in 1932, over 2 months from when his child was stolen from his family's Hopewell, New Jersey mansion. Lindbergh, who became the first worldwide celebrity 5 years earlier, when he flew the Spirit of St. Louis across the Atlantic, and his wife Anne had discovered a ransom note in their 20-month-old child's empty room on March 1st. Kidnapper used a ladder to climb up to the open second-floor window that left muddy footprints in the room. In barely legible English, the ransom note demanded $50,000. Captured the attention of the entire nation. Family was inundated by offers of assistance and false clues. Even Al Capone offered some help from prison, though it was, of course, conditioned on his release. For 3 days, investigators found nothing, and there was still no further word from the kidnappers. Then a new letter showed up, this time demanding $70,000. It wasn't until April 2nd that the kidnappers gave instruction for dropping off the money. When the money was finally delivered, they indicated the little baby Charles was on a boat called Nellie off the coast of Massachusetts. However, after an exhaustive search of every port, there was no sign of either the boat or the child. On May 12th, the renewed search of the area near the Lindbergh mansion turned up the baby's body. He had actually been killed the night of the kidnapping and was found less than a mile from the home. Heartbroken Lindberghs ended up donating the home to charity and moved away. Looked like it was going to go unsolved until 1934, a marked bill from the ransom turned up. Suspicious of the driver who had given it to him, the gas station attendant who had accepted the bill wrote down his license plate number. It was tracked to a German immigrant, Bruno Hauptmann. When his home was searched, detectives found $13,000 of Lindbergh's ransom money. The man that was Hauptmann claimed that a friend had given him the money and told him it had no connection to crime. And the resulting trial was a national sensation. The main evidence apart from the money was testimony from handwritten experts that the ransom note had been written by Hauptmann and his connection with the type of wood that was used to make the ladder. Still, the evidence and intense public pressure was enough to convict him. In April 1936, he was executed in the electric chair. Kidnapping was then made a federal crime in the aftermath of the high-profile crime. This is a lot worse than what we were talking about just minutes ago in the other half of the show. However, I think it's a really enlightening story of an amazing kidnapping and aftermath of one. in the U.S. It's sad, but I think it's really important. So, let's continue with another question. This next one is quite an amazing story. This happened in 1963 and involved a very famous singer walking off the set of the Ed Sullivan Show. This singer was, well, still just an aspiring musician with a passionate niche following, but no national profile whatsoever. His second album had not been released, but had secured what would surely be his big break with an invitation to perform on the Ed Sullivan Show. However, that appearance never happened. On this day in 1963, the young and unknown artist walked off the set of the country's highest-rated variety show after network censors rejected the song he planned on performing. The song that caused the flap was Talkin' John Birch Paranoid Blues, a satirical talking blues number skewering the ultra-conservative John Birch Society and its tendency to see covert members of an international communist conspiracy behind every tree. Now, because of this, CBS did not want to air the episode in fear of a defamation lawsuit. So infamously, it said that he didn't storm out in a tantrum, but whether he did or didn't, this person got a lot of publicity because of it, and probably helped his career more than the appearance ever could. Who is this artist? This artist is Bob Dylan. In 1963, he stormed off this show after that happened. It's pretty interesting to see. Now, the stories I gave you before are all from the date you'll be listening to. However, there's not much interesting on that date. So, we'll go back to the 11th of May, the day I'm writing this, Monday. As there's some interesting facts on this. Now, the Roman Empire is very famous. And famously, the capital city is Rome. However, in 330, on this day in 330, it changes to a new capital city. What is this capital city? Well, turns out Constantinople or Byzantium on the 11th of May, 330. It becomes the new capital of the Roman Empire. This is when it changes, and it stays this until, well, the fall of, I believe, the Byzantine Empire and the Western Roman Empire, the Eastern Roman Empire. And there's many iterations of it that existed through the years. However, unlike the Eastern Empire, it lasted much, much longer. And many probably have heard of the Byzantine Empire. But after the fall of the Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire rose and Constantinople stayed its capital city for many years. The next, in 2000, certain countries' population officially reached 1 billion, and Asta Aurora was named this country's billionth baby. What country is this? It was India. In 2000, India reached a population of 1 billion. To this day, it is still the second largest country in the world behind China, and then after China, it's China, India, then the US. Canada's pretty far down on that list. But that is That is how long, that is how big the population was on that day. The next piece of trivia is right from the month that we are in. Now, it is even the month, the name of the month. Where does the name of the month of May come from? What is its etymological roots? Well, it turns out that it's named after the Roman goddess Maya, who oversaw the growth of plants. After that, I guess it was changed and evolved into May. And ever since, we've had the month of May. Like we've talked in a few other episodes before, the Gregorian calendar and the Julian calendar are very similar. And the Julian calendar was founded all the way back in Julius Caesar's days. Because of that, most month names have not changed. Or if they have changed, they've changed very little since their inception from the Julian calendar. Because of this, it makes sense that May is named for a Roman goddess. Now, the noteworthy dates in this month are, well, first, the 1st of May. What is this date known as? It's known as May Day, and marks the returns of spring by bringing branches of certain shrubs and flowers. In Hawaii, it's called Lei Day. Leis are garlands or wreaths that are often made with native Hawaiian flowers and leaves. Nowadays, they're a symbol of greeting, farewell, affection, celebration, or honor in the spirit of aloha. It originated in 1927. The next day is very famous, especially in Central America. This is the Mexican name for the 5th of May. And it celebrates the victory of the Mexicans over the French army at the Battle of Puebla in 1862. What is the date that this, what is the name of this event? And the date of it. Turns out it's Cinco de Mayo, 5th of May. Cinco meaning 5, de Mayo meaning of May. And I'm sure we've all heard of Cinco de Mayo before. It's kind of a thing in pop culture. Now, we already talked about Mother's Day as it happened yesterday, so let's not go over that one. The next important one I want to bring up is May 18th, which will be a week from when I'm writing this, and a week minus a day from when you hear this, and it's a Canadian celebration. It celebrates the birthday of Queen Victoria, who was born on May 24th, 1819. This holiday is observed on the penultimate Monday in May. What is this day called? This day is called Victoria Day. It is very commonly known as, well, the long weekend. At least here in Canada, and the States has their own version we will talk about next. Now, I'm hoping next week to do maybe a more thorough, in-depth view of Victoria Day, as it's next week, but it celebrates the birthday of Queen Victoria, who, for those who don't know, was the queen that was reigning during the signing of our independence here in Canada. Another important day is the 25th of May. It's a poignant reminder of the tenacity of life. It's a tradition to raise the flag. Now, this isn't a Canadian tradition. This is an American one. And it's kind of like our version of Victoria Day. At least that's how I see it. What day is it? It's Memorial Day. I always look at it The Americans have Memorial Day. The Canadians have Victoria Day. The Canadians have Thanksgiving in October. The Americans have it in, the Americans have it in November. Similar things, just different dates. I think we're going to take a quick musical break. When we come back, a couple more questions, and then we'll finish off the show. The song we're about to listen to was written while one of the singers of this band was on tour in Europe. And he was originally writing about a Backstreet Boys fan, but it transformed into a song about his mother. What is this song, and who is it by? It's The Perfect Fan by the Backstreet Boys. And it talks about mothers, so I thought for Mother's Day, it's the perfect song to play. So here it is on CILU 102.7 FM.
It takes a lot to know what is love. It's not the big things, but the little things that can mean enough. A lot of prayers to get me through. And there is never a day that passes by I don't think of you. Always to succeed.
You showed me
when I was young just how to grow.
You showed me
everything that I should know.
You showed me
just how to walk without your hands. 'Cause mom, you always were the perfect fan.
Perfect fit.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to CALU 102.7 FM. What another beautiful song. We've got about 7 minutes left of the show here, so let's get back to a few more trivia questions. When we're done that, I think we'll switch to one last song and call it quits for the week. So, this last bit is going to be difficult. May is one of those months that doesn't have that much trivia. And to be honest with you, some trivia facts, some months are harder to do trivia for than others. Some weeks are harder than others. It's like writer's block. If anyone has any idea of shows they'd like me to do, tweet at me on Twitter, go on Facebook, DM me on Facebook, direct message, and let me know. Find a way to let me know. I'm open to doing many different types of shows, and I think if someone gave me some ideas, it would be helpful, because then I know what you'd like to see, and I can know what to do. Again, I kind of throw these shows sometimes together quickly. Sometimes I put a lot of work into them. It all depends on the week, but just like a writer, I do go through writer's block. So, and I apologize if these shows are a little less structured the last probably about 6-7 weeks, as COVID-19's really taken a toll on quality of the shows. Not because I don't care, but just because it's a lot easier for me to write everything up and do the show at the same time as doing the research. So it's still fresh in my mind, and I don't have to worry as much as when I did it live. If I screwed up, well, screwed up right there. And couldn't really risk that. However, I'm at home using a program on my computer. I can pause it anytime and fix it, restart it 10 minutes later, an hour later, 2 days later if I wanted to. So because of that, I want to apologize if these shows sound a little more, I guess, down to earth, or a little less, you know, professionally made. Anyhow, let's continue. We're now going to go into some more interesting parts of May, which are, what is the May birth flower? Now, this one doesn't really surprise me, as it's very common in Easter and with Easter, not necessarily this flower specifically, but Easter and April, May are always considered with these kind of flowers. And the month of May, the flower is the lily of the valley. It's highly poisonous woodland flowering plant with sweetly scented pendant bell-shaped white flowers, borne in sprays in spring. It's native through cool temperature northern hemisphere in Asia and Europe. That is what the May birth flower is. It is also the hawthorn. Now, the lily of the valley symbolizes sweetness or the turn of happiness, whereas the hawthorn means hope. Now, to be honest with you, I didn't really know what a hawthorn was before doing this, as I don't know them very well, these plants. But it looks like it's a flowering plant / berry. Pretty pretty looking. Looks like a tree almost. Anyhow, what is the birthstone of May? Turns out that the birthstone is emerald. Now, I think it's cool to do a couple of fun facts about it. Emerald is a green type of beryl, and the color ranges from light to rich green. The more saturated hues are more valuable, especially if pure, or blue-green. Natural emeralds are flawed with fractures or other minerals mixed in, called inclusions, which may appear as needles, columns, or cubes of minerals, or bubbles of gas or liquids. Sometimes oil or resin is added to fill fractures and improve appearance. Some of the best emeralds come from South American mines, although perhaps the oldest known came from Egypt. Emerald was a favorite gem of Cleopatra. Lastly, the emerald symbolizes rebirth and fertility, and was thought to grant foresight, cure various diseases, soothe nerves, improve memory, and ensure loyalty. Now, what the emerald symbolizes reminds me of mothers and makes me think of Mother's Day. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in this week, and hope you all have a good week and survive all right with COVID happening. Hope everyone had a chance to wish their mothers a happy Mother's Day, or wish somebody a happy Mother's Day. I want to thank you all for tuning in, and happy Mother's Day to all. Whether I know you or not, I'd like to wish